Am I as good looking as I think I am?
I wonder where normal people find friends.
Where would I find out how to be a good dad?
Should I be taking my kids to church?
What is up with my nose hair?
Crossroads Church. Real people asking real questions.
Crossroads Church is a community of people across the country, trading isolation for friendship, insecurity for hope. We're pursuing God in the midst of our mess, a God who loves us and takes us on incredible adventures. Check us out.
Trail Boss, new series at Crossroads, take 8.
Hey, Grip, move that light.
Yeah.
You're not gonna want to do that.
Yeah, I got it.
Hey, a little help?
We all need a trail boss, because following leads to freedom.
Well, hey, welcome to Crossroads. My name is Kyle. No matter who you are, no matter what you believe, you're in the right place. We are in week 2 of a series that we started last week called Trail Boss. It's all about this big topic called authority, which if you're like me, you probably don't like that word called authority. And yet, the Bible says that there's incredible value for you and I if we can get our minds around this concept and learn how to leverage authority to our advantage for our life to get better. We're going to start off today's experience with worship. This is just singing songs to God. If you want to join us, awesome. If that's not where you are, no worries. Just enjoy the music. Consider the words. We're glad you're with us. Let's start off with worship.
Well, hey, Crossroads, what's going on? Great to have you here. Hey, if you're here for the first time, you came on a cool weekend because this is the day that we bring our Thanksgiving food boxes back. Anybody do that? Yeah, come on. You've got a lot of cool stuff going on. Maybe we got some, look at this. This is what's happening right now. We've got thousands of these boxes coming in so that folks all around our region, and even if you're giving online, folks all around our country are getting to experience the generosity of our community. And we're generous because God's been generous to us. And that's why we sing. So we're gonna spend some time worshiping now. Why don't you guys stand up where you are? Let's sing about God's authority.
Our God, a firm foundation, our rock, the only solid ground, as nations rise and fall. Kingdoms once strong, now shaken, we trust forever in your name, the name of Jesus. We trust the name of Jesus. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore, you are victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore, you are victorious. Unmatched in all your wisdom, in love and justice you will reign, and every knee will bow. Expectations, our hope is anchored in your name, the name of Jesus. Oh, we trust the name of Jesus. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore, you are victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore, you are victorious. Victorious.
All right, so if you've been coming here for a little bit, you know sometimes when people are singing, they raise their hands like this, right? And I just want to give a little bit of context around what's happening. When I do this, when we sing, we lift our banner high, we lift the name of Jesus, I'm saying, I surrender. I surrender to your authority. And so when you look around and you go, you may be thinking, I think those people might be freaks. Like, what are they doing right now? No one scored any points. It was not a goal unit scored for any team, as far as I know. Actually, I would say, yeah, I scored because I have a king. And I'm saying, God, I surrender myself to you. I surrender myself to your authority. I gladly submit. And when we're worshiping like this, there are moments that are celebrations like that. There are also moments when I'm like, oh God, I submit because I'm broken. And I hold my hands like this, like they're empty, right there. I need you to come meet me where I am, God. When we sing songs of praise, when we sing songs of petition, when we come together. And it's one of the things I love about this community, because you don't have to have all your crap figured out. You can come in here broken and needy. You can come in here celebrating and victorious. And it's good, and it's beautiful. Here we go.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you.
That's right.
Not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my soul till I met you. You called my name. I'm
Separate us now. What
What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the bones of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring, praise of your glory. For you are raised, you raised to life, life again.
Because of what you're doing in our lives, what you've done in our lives, you know, and what we long for you to continue to do in our lives. And when we raise our hands like this, we just say, we want to surrender to who you are, to your authority. We want to submit and say, come be our King. Come be our King. We need you to govern. We need you to teach us how to follow. It's in that beautiful, precious, powerful name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Man, guys, it's great to worship with you. It's so good. So good. Hey, real quick, if you like what we're doing, we do it at 8:30 every weekday morning on Facebook. Come join us. It's awesome. And let's make this big place feel a little bit smaller. Why don't you turn to somebody that you don't yet already know, see if you can get their phone number, all right?
Well, hey, thanks, Robbie. If you've been around here for any number of weeks, you've probably seen one of us or more of us on camera, and that might be a little bit confusing who does what. And so we're here today to clear some of that up for you. If you're brand new and you've never seen any of us, you're going to get a sneak peek into just how much effort and intentionality we put behind helping you connect to God and get the absolute most out of Crossroads possible. First is Lena Schuler. Lena is our brand new Anywhere community pastor. Crossroads Anywhere, if you didn't know. That's the name of the community of folks who live across the country, maybe not near a traditional Crossroads brick and mortar site, but are an equal part of our Crossroads community. And Lena is the brand new Crossroads Anywhere pastor.
Yes, I'm so excited. It's about time you guys had some leadership.
Okay.
Just kidding.
That's hilarious because if you followed this for any length of time, you may know that Mr. Matt Welty over here was the founding and original community pastor of Crossroads Anywhere. But you, in fact, you're still here.
Yes.
And you've got a different role.
Yeah. I still work here. Yeah. So a number of months ago, I transitioned into a role where I became our chief technology officer and am leading a number of different teams who are just trying to make platforms, tools, products that help people connect with God, help connect with Crossroads, connect with community, help us serve communities. So all the things that hopefully tie us all together and help us no matter where we live.
Lena, people, taking care of people. Matt, technology, building technology. Okay, so you are the person who is the pastor of all of us who are in Crossroads Anywhere world. If we have a need or we want to connect with people around us, we don't know what to do, or if we have a heart to start a Crossroads maybe in our town or our city, what is the best way to reach out and connect to you and your team?
Absolutely. So the best way for you to connect with us, the best way for you to connect with Crossroads is to send an email to hello@crossroads.net and let us know how we can help you. And we would love to connect you with other people or give you resources or ideas on how to get a Crossroads started in your city, in your neighborhood, with your family and your friends.
Matt, you lead making these technology platforms for us to connect to God and each other. Give us, like, what's the one that maybe you're the most excited about right now that we might have no idea even exists?
Oh, man. We're constantly putting updates into the app. That's one of the most sort of like quickly developing and changing platforms that we have.
It's called the Crossroads Anywhere app.
Crossroads Anywhere app, yeah. So App Store, Google Play Store. And what I think a lot of people probably don't know is that we're creating enormous amounts of content on all kinds of topics that are exceptionally relevant to your life. And so things about marriage or parenting or depression, raising kids, dating, work life, all that stuff, articles, podcasts, all that stuff. And it's in the app. So if you update your app or download it for the first time, along the bottom is a little magnifying glass. So you can explore, you can look around at all of the different content that Crossroads has produced.
Whether you live far away, whether you're part of a traditional Crossroads brick and mortar site, this broadcast is a tool for you. The app is a tool for you. Again, we want to help you connect to God and to each other, however possible. Hey, we also want to give you an invite to join the team at Crossroads. We're all part of the Crossroads team, which means that we not just sort of believe in what God's doing here. We actually put our money where our mouth is, and we fund and fuel the movement and mission of God through Crossroads each and every month. We give of our money. And we want to invite you to do the same exact thing. You can join the team today. It's not exclusive. All you have to do is go to crossroads.net/give, make a one-time gift, or set up a recurring gift, whatever you want to do, and get ready for Trail Boss Week 2.
Trail Boss, new series at Crossroads, take 8.
Hey, Grip, move that light.
Yeah.
You're not gonna want to do that.
Yeah, I got it.
Hey, a little help?
We all need a trail boss because following leads to freedom.
Hello, everyone. My name is Allie Patterson, and I am one of the teaching pastors here at Crossroads, and it's awesome to be with you guys. This is a great weekend to be part of our community. I love driving by, seeing people at multiple sites in turkey hats, returning all the boxes. It's just an exciting weekend to be a part of Crossroads, and I feel that as well. I hope you do that too. We are in week two of Trail Boss, and we're exploring this idea that actually following people could lead us to a different place in our life of freedom. And we're talking all about authority. So authority is not a word that we Americans particularly like to hear. So we're friends. We're going to be friends at the end of this. I'm in this with you. And today we're going to explore earthly authority. And what I mean by that is two different types. One is the people that are in your life as authorities. That might be a teacher, a parent, a coach, a supervisor. For a lot of us with jobs, this is most directly and simply our boss. Do you know that according to Harvard Business Review, 58% of Americans trust strangers more than they trust their boss? Can you believe that? That's real. I mean, and I think we're serious about this, honestly, because I couldn't fathom 15 years ago putting a kid in a car called an Uber and letting a stranger drive them across town. But that's happening more and more and more these days. And apparently, we just wouldn't let them ride with our boss, but we're fine with strangers. We don't trust the other type of authority a whole lot more than that. And the other type that I'm lumping into earthly authority today for the purpose of our time is structures of authority. So this would be things like the traffic laws that we literally drive our cars through, or the organizational structure that you might work in, or certainly the government at every level, from city ordinance all the way up to executive orders from the president himself. We exist, we live every single day, whether we like it or not, whether we want to or not, we actually live our everyday life inside all kinds of earthly authority. And increasingly, we are a country that lacks any sort of trust. 19%, only 19% of Americans would say they trust the government, versus 80% in 1965. We are on a nosedive with authority. We, the people of the United States, are in a total meltdown over how to handle earthly authority. So we're going to spend our time talking today about what does God think about this. And we have a problem, and the problem is we aren't wrong. Like, some of your bosses, they're kind of crappy. And some of our leaders aren't that great, and some of our laws probably need to change. And that's a major hurdle of trust for us, because we don't trust. And so instead, we have thrown the whole thing out. That's increasingly what we're doing as a culture. We are putting ourselves in the place of these authorities that we just simply don't trust. We are becoming a country of very high individualism. We would like to be in charge of our own life. And I'm right in there with you. I like to make my own decisions and be in charge of myself as well. And I would even say that most of us have a version of our life that we would love to happen. We would love it if our life were to go a certain way, or our jobs and our relationships were to go a certain way. We really do have thoughts about what's best for our life, and we're going about executing those all the time. And I'm guessing that if you're here, if you're in the sound of my voice today, that you would even love God's help with that. You might be somebody who would say, if God could help me with those things in my life that I care about, my plans, my job, my relationships, my future, then I would want it. I would want God's help. And the uncomfortable truth that we're going to address today is that God himself chooses to work in our lives through earthly authority. I don't like this any more than you do. I don't want this to be true any more than you do. Yet it is. It is true that God chooses earthly authority as a major method of working out his plans and his purposes for your life and for my life. And I think we've lost the idea, or maybe we just simply have never thought about the idea that God works in our lives through the structures of earthly authority. I'm going to pray for us, because I'm afraid you're already mad at me. We're going to be friends, I promise, so I'm going to pray that that's going to happen for the rest of our time. Father, I want to be under your authority. I want to be helpful. I want to say things according to your word, and I pray that you would help me to do that and that you would be working in the hearts of everyone listening to help us to deal with this difficult topic of authority. Amen. You all, self is our oldest problem. This really is not a new problem for us, the idea of us wanting to be in charge. The resistance to other people's and other types of authority goes all the way back to the very first humans. Many of us are familiar with this story, but as God created the first man and the first woman, he was their earthly authority. He lived with them. He walked with them. He knew them in that way. God himself was their authority, and he imposed something, like most authorities do, upon them. He said, all this, you're free to determine, and this one tree, I would like you to not eat from that one tree. Can we agree that? Yes. Okay, God was their authority, but shortly after they received that guideline from their authority, they decided, we just simply want something different. We would like to exercise our own authority. We would like to make a decision of our life, and that kind of looks like something we want, so we will do it. The very first break in relationship between God and us was a resistance, a rejection of his authority for our own. We do this all the time. I do this all the time. Meet Allie's authority problem on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 3:45 p.m. This sign I pass leaving work all the freaking time, and I literally pull up to this sign like 10 minutes before the end of the restriction, and here's some of the things that I do with this little authority in my life. I just ignore it. Sometimes I just ignore it. Sometimes I not only ignore it, I honk at people who are not ignoring it. And then every now and then, my conscience will get the better of me and I might do something like this. I might say, this is the Cincinnati public school system right in this area, right? These are not my kids' schools. I don't know what schedule they're on. They probably have conferences today. They're not even in school today. I can turn right on red. It's really no big deal. My husband wishes that I used my own authority a little bit less when I drove because I ignore all U-turn signs as well. I do U-turns wherever I feel like it. If I yielded to every U-turn sign, there always no U-turns, right? They're never encouraging you to do them. They only discourage them, and they put them in all the best places. And my husband will be like, not again. I'm not great with traffic law, but also we love to bring other people with us. I can't convince him. He says mean things about me when I drive, but I don't have a lot of tickets. I'm good. However, we do love to bring other people along with us. How many times have you left a meeting or a class or whatever, and you've gone, that guy, right? Am I right, everybody? What a goofball. Or, you know, you roll your eyes and you're collecting the consensus of the room that the person leading the whatever is just, you know, whatever, not worth listening to. I caught myself doing this with my kids. This was just weeks ago. One of my sons was involved in building a Gaga pit for his school. And if you don't know what a Gaga pit is, there's a little picture of it. It's really just a playground game. If you get hit below the knees, you're out. I mean, it's not that complicated. So he comes home. He's all excited because they have a new Gaga pit on the playground. And he says to me, we didn't get to play today. And I said, why? It was the first day. It was ready to go. Why didn't you get to play? And he goes, we have to have an assembly about the rules. And I was like, what? It's a playground game. Are you freaking kidding me? I was like, kids the world over have been working out how to play games on the playground for decades, for centuries. Why do you need to have an assembly? And somewhere in the middle of this, I'm going, oh, this isn't good. This is bad. And the alarm bells start to go off. And I'm like, what am I telling my kids right now? I'm totally slamming their teachers and their school and their decisions. And so I ended my little tirade with, and I'm sure your teachers all know better about how it is to play with kids on the playground, so we're just going to wait for the assembly. And they were like, okay. I could not believe the words that were coming out of my own mouth because they just come up and out of us, don't they? They really do. It seems to be innate in us, this thing that just wants to be heard, this whatever we think, whatever our rights are, and it's really called, quite simply, rebellion. It's just the rejection of any authority, any version of life that isn't our own. We are owned by this. And in a very special and maybe unique way, even as a country, we are sort of owned by this. Our country even began in rebellion against something. And so as a culture, we're maybe even in a little bit deeper than the rest of humanity. This starts in our heads really with one simple question. Anytime we engage in authority, and I do this as well, the very first thing we're thinking is, do I agree with what they just said? Your boss gives you a new assignment, you come across, you turn on the news, you hear about a new law, whatever the case might be, our very first question is to ourselves, do I agree with this? And we base our obedience entirely upon our own agreement. It might be the very rare occasion that you happily and cheerfully are on exactly the same page, and that's fantastic. But all the other occasions, which let's face it, it's the vast majority, right? The vast majority of the time, we would at least tweak it just a little bit. All those other times, the downside of operating this way is that we are locked in to a protest. We must protest. We must resist. We must do that or you're a fraud. You're a sellout. Well, you've given away your own authority. How come you didn't say anything? This is our culture of resistance. We must do that because we use ourselves as the only basis by which we determine whether we will obey or disobey. And guys, this isn't freedom. Everything about our reaction is determined by that authority. Our emotions, our behavior usually, and in the end, we feel like our well-being is literally tied to the authority that we're responding to. And so therefore, we've ended up where we are, and we are a culture who throws authority out the window in favor of our own judgment most of the time. We just trust ourselves more. But what if there was a way to be rid of this constant tension? Of the tension that we are living in with our authorities every single day. And I think that there is, but I'm not sure that it's a word that you like. I know that I don't like it. And it's called submission. Submit is sort of a dirty word. It's like we're giving away the thing that's ours. We're yielding to something above ourselves, and that's just not very American. It's not very human. None of us like to do this. But submission is the only thing that begins to bring freedom. Submission not only brings freedom, it also brings humility, and it also is the path to the life that we are looking for. But first, we have to get free. We have to get free. We cannot be dictated to by this constant need to rebel and resist all of these authorities that we may not agree with. And the very first thing, as submission brings us freedom, that we have to learn to do is to refocus. When we deal with earthly authority, what we should be making our very first step is to see God himself through that authority. See God on the other side of it, beyond it, bigger than it, over top of it, because actually Scripture tells us this is the case. There are some words that I want to read to you from Romans chapter 13. It says, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves." Wow. I mean, this is not how we're used to thinking of authority. We aren't used to putting God in the equation, right? I mean, we don't look at our boss and think, God. We don't look at the law and think, my response here is actually a response to God. But that is the key to freedom. because it frees us from having to respond to that person or that thing or that decision, and instead, we go up a level. We train ourselves to begin understanding that it's God who chooses to work in and through human authority. Now, what those verses do not say is that God approves and condones of all the actions that our authorities do. It simply means that he himself chooses to work through structures of authority in our world. And when we put ourselves outside of those, we aren't just rebelling against them. We're actually saying to God, I don't trust you either. He takes personally our response for exactly that reason. I know that there's an objection in the room because I have this objection too, right along with you. It's something I struggled with as I prepared because I have this question too. What if they're bad? What if they're evil? What if they're immoral? What if it's wrong? And this is a legit question about authority. And actually, I've studied all the examples through the Bible that where people disobeyed authority, and they fit a fascinating pattern. It's so fascinating. I wish we had time to do them all. But instead of one of them, I'm going to use something I think fits this pattern that you're very familiar with. As a matter of fact, most of us have opinions about this particular person and the accomplishments of his life. And his words actually fit the biblical pattern that I saw as I looked at all these examples. And his name is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I want you to hear his words because prior to thinking about this and really understanding this, I would probably have said something like this. I might have said, now there's a guy who rebelled against authority and he did it for a good reason. That feels right, but I wonder if we would use those same words after hearing this. Take a listen.
I must be honest enough to say that I do feel that there are two types of laws. One is a just law and one is an unjust law. I think we all have moral obligations to obey just laws. On the other hand, I think we have moral obligations to disobey unjust laws because non-cooperation with evil is as much a moral obligation as is cooperation with good. I think the distinction here is that when one breaks a law that conscience tells him is unjust, he must do it openly, he must do it cheerfully, he must do it lovingly, he must do it civilly, not uncivilly, and he must do it with a willingness to accept the penalty. And any man who breaks a law that conscience tells him is unjust and willingly accepts the penalty by staying in jail in order to arouse the conscience of the community on the injustice of the law is at that moment expressing the very highest respect for law.
Wow. I mean, for real, this is not a rebel on our hands. This is a man who understood submission to the law. And he was so committed to that he was willing to make himself the object lesson of its injustice. He said, the parameter that we have to operate in is our willingness to suffer the consequences of the law. This was not a guy without respect for the law. This was not a person leading a rebellion. He was so submitted to the law that he would suffer for it. He would ultimately give his life for it. And he wasn't angry and hateful and violent and protesting. He said, by his own words, we're to do it in joy, in love, in ultimate concern for the community, the whole community. And I hear people a lot. I hear people invoke his name and his movement a lot in our culture right now, when we talk about protesting, rebelling against various types of authority and various causes of all different sorts. And I don't see a lot of that. I don't see a lot of love. I don't see a lot of civility. What I see is us wanting our rights, wanting our thoughts, wanting our opinions to carry the day. And we need to wrap our minds around one very important truth about God in the middle of all of this. Because let's be honest, most of our stuff doesn't come anywhere close to that. And we're not coming anywhere close to that. We have to understand that God, in the middle of whatever our rights and our causes and our opinions about authority are, God cares far, far more about the forming of our character than he does about the furthering of our cause. He cares way more, like can't even hold a candle to it more, about how our character is formed versus how our causes are going. And as we willingly yield to authority, if we will willingly yield to authority in obedience to it, or if we will pay the penalty joyfully of our disobedience to it, in either case, we will develop the thing that submission does best. We will develop humility. Submission always forms in us this critical character quality of humility, because God is way more interested in that than anything else. If I were to say one thing that God was doing in the life of anyone who wants to follow Jesus, it would be he's trying to form humility in us. And the vast majority of the times that we face down with earthly authority, whether it's a traffic law or our boss or anything else, what we're to do to develop humility would be to willingly yield ourselves to that authority in obedience to it. And yes, even when we're wronged. I know how weird that sounds. I know how wrong it sounds. I actually expect to get emails from some of you telling me that's bad thinking. But it's not. It's the truth of how God operates in us in order to alter this radical, radical pridefulness and rebellion that we were literally born into. It's like a lifelong project of God for every single one of us who wants to follow him. And so often he will use earthly authority to accomplish this purpose in us, to knock us off the top of our own authority pyramid and to just slay our pride. And it makes us somebody who can actually be accessed by God, who can actually be used by God. It's like the open door into God beginning to work in our life in amazing ways, to have plans that happen in our life that we could never have happen ourselves, to have people come into our life that we would never willingly accept, and to do things through us and in us and to us that actually benefit his plans and purposes for us. But we're in our own way. I was in a meeting, this was years ago, and I had a different job than I have now, and I was operating on a team of people that were leading a group, and we were in the meeting one day, and there was a man who was leading the meeting, and I thought we had a pretty decent relationship. I was one of two women on the team, and probably the more vocal of the two, and we were in a brainstorming session for just the future. White paper, you know, let's talk about the future. Where do we want to go? Very open, brainstormy kind of meeting. And so I was participating in the flow of the meeting with everyone else. I mean, who doesn't want to be asked, right? You would like to be asked for your opinion on the future of whatever you're doing. And so I was like, great, let's talk about it. So we're just, he's writing things up, and all of a sudden, he grabs his dry erase marker with a vengeance. He grabs it, puts the cap back on, and he slams it down on the tray of the whiteboard, and he turns around and he looks straight at me and he goes, "Do you think you can do this better than me?" And I was like, "Oh my, what is happening? What is happening right now?" And I'm looking around and everyone's going like, "I need to text somebody right now. I got something very interesting down here." Everyone in the meeting's like, you know, you can see, you've been in rooms like that where you can just feel the awkwardness growing. That's what was happening as he proceeded to yell at me, probably for a full minute, It felt like 20. He absolutely yelled at me. Do you think you're smarter than me? Do you think you're better than me? Do you want to just leave? Do you want to just have the marker? And I was like, I really have no idea what's happening right now. And so I was totally stunned by this. I vaguely began to recall that some of my coworkers at the time had said he wasn't that crazy about women. That began to come back to me, but I really did not have that on my radar, and so I just participated like everyone else, I thought. My colleagues show up in my office afterwards, and they close the door like, OMG, what was wrong with him, you know? So I knew that I wasn't totally out of line. I could not figure out what had happened. And I processed it later with God. And it would have been super easy for me to go, that guy has a problem with women. That is not my deal. I don't need to be different at all. Like, his problem entirely. But instead, the question that I found myself asking God was, what was it about me? What was it about my tone? What was it about my questions? He would not be the first or last boss to be annoyed by Allie asking questions that start with the word, why? And I began to see that in that context, there were things that I needed to do in order to stay in alignment with his authority. And not just his authority, but behind him to stay in alignment with God, who was above, beyond, bigger than him. And do you know, I would sit in meetings, because this was a regular team that I was on, and I would opt to stay quiet, and it would just fry me inside. It would just kill me. I'd be like, I have such a great thought, but I know he's going to be so annoyed by it. And so I would filter things out. And I began to understand how to operate with an imperfect authority who probably just didn't like me. But I can trace things to this day. Good that came from my life, into my life, because of the fact that I asked those questions to God, because of the fact that I didn't just write him off to a guy who didn't like women and move on, because I began to understand I need to figure out a way to operate in alignment with this person's authority so that I can be in alignment with God. And I would sit in the meetings and I would go, God, you know what I'm doing right now, right? And he'd go, calm down, I got your back. Like, it was, I began to trust God ahead of this person, God behind this person, God who always had my back. And I never want to cut off God's ability to work in my life because I just couldn't keep my mouth shut. Or I just couldn't form a healthy, functioning relationship with an imperfect guy. Because guess what? We aren't going to meet many perfect ones. And God wants to do things in our life that he can only do, that he will only do, when we begin to ask the questions of humility, when we begin to understand that even when we're wronged, we're to stay in alignment with authority because it gets his attention. And suddenly he's working on your behalf. Never mind that person. Never mind that law. God is interested in people who will submit to him through their authority structure. Even Jesus did this. I want you to hear some words that were written about him in Hebrews chapter 5. It says this, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. Jesus, God himself, humbly suffered in the face of human, painful human circumstances. I want you to meet somebody who found herself in a context where she could not do anything but submit to authority. And it developed in her the character that she needed to follow God. Meet Katie.
So my name's Katie Castleman, and I was in the Army Reserves for 8 years. Authority in the Army is sort of all-encompassing, because all of a sudden you go from, like, waking up and being like, oh, I think I want to eat eggs for breakfast, or I think I'll go to the library today, or I'll hang out with this friend, or I'll call someone. And when you get to boot camp, your entire identity is just stripped from you. You have a new set of clothes that you have to wear, and you're told what your day is going to look like, and you're told what you're going to eat, and you're told how to wear your hair. So everything is dictated for you. So for a soldier, if you don't submit to authority, it could be a matter of life and death. It could be catastrophic for you or for your unit. My first wake-up call to sort of the authority that I was submitting myself under was actually when I was signing my contract, like the contract to swear my life away, or 8 years of my life away. And I remember that I initialed next to that, I understand that my commanding officer has the right to shoot me if I desert in a time of war. And that suddenly was like, oh my gosh, that's a big deal. I didn't know that. But it just sort of brought to life what I was giving myself over to. If you have the choice to submit yourself to something that's so authoritarian like the military, or submitting yourself to God, like why would you do it? What's the point? My best answer to that is that we were created for mission, and that we were created to live a life that's full of adventure, that's full of really good stuff like honor and nobility and service and leadership and all these other things that I think that everyone would generally say, like, these are all good things. You don't get any of them if there isn't some authority structure in your life. If everyone is just sort of running free to do whatever they want without any thought about who it could implicate, then you just sort of get chaos. To show how imperative it is when you've actually said yes to following Jesus, when you've said yes to following the Lord with all of your heart, with all your might, with all your strength, that when we don't submit ourselves to his authority, I mean, it's kind of clear. It says, like, the wage of sin is death. And it might not even be to you. It might be to some. It might be someone else that suffers because of your inability to be under an authority. I don't say it to make anyone feel terrible or to make anyone feel fearful of their actions. But I think that in general, we don't give enough weight to what it means to sit under someone's authority, but especially maybe under the Lord's authority. The Army built a lot of my character, and it actually helps me in my day-to-day now, like remembering, like, I got through that, like, I can get through this. It's really translated to my relationship with the Lord, because I was willing to submit my life to a group of people or to this system that is imperfect. And then as I've grown in my relationship with the Lord, and I understand, like, I know that the Lord is good, and I know that he has my best interests at heart, and he's just asking for my allegiance. He's asking for my submission. And, like, I've had the question, God, are you good? Like, God, are you still here? God, do you have my best interests at heart? It's definitely allowed me to sort of say, yes, my life is yours, because I believe that you are good.
Cool, right? I mean, Katie was sort of forced into a situation where she developed, maybe unwittingly to some extent, the humility that submission always brings to us. She said that we were made for a life of mission, a life of adventure with God. And this thing that happens in us when we begin to submit to earthly authority, but God through it, is it makes our life accessible to God. It puts us squarely in the middle of mission and adventure with him. An army or otherwise, we all need the training of submission. None of us are great at this, right? I said, like, weeks ago, I did the Gaga Pit thing, right? So it's like a continual, ongoing training process. And I have a challenge for you this week. Before we go any further, I don't want to forget to tell you. I and we, if you will, I think we should go into training. I want us to drive the speed limit for an entire week. Will you do it with me? No, you won't. You're not sold. Speed limit with me the whole week. It will raise things up in you that you will not expect. I can promise you that. but we'll be in it together. And I think we rebel against authority because we somehow feel like it's the kiss of death. Like we're literally laying something down that is a death to us. But in fact, submission is the way to life. Submission is the counterintuitive, countercultural way to life in the kingdom. Kingdom life, the kind of life that God is in control of. This kind of life requires submission as a change point, because submission changes something in us. It changes us from being responding to earthly authority to being under heavenly authority. It takes us from that demand that we protest, that culture of resistance, and it puts us into a place of freedom where we could do anything. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. He gives us freedom in response to that. And instead of executing our own plans, we actually get the plans, the mission, the power of God himself. The course of our life can literally be altered by our ability or our inability to submit. But I get it. It does feel like a death. I actually think it is a sort of death. All our lives long, should we choose to attempt to follow Jesus, we are always in a process of the death of ourself. And our own authority is the perfect picture of that. We're the ones who get to make all the calls. But as soon as we start submitting as an act of trust in God, we get his attention, we get his action, we get his support. What if handling authority is the stumbling block to the things that you ask God for on a regular basis? What if those were connected? I want you to see how Jesus did this, because he was amazing at this, utterly amazing. And his life bore the power that we are looking for. His life in it, submitted fully to it, became life not just for him. He didn't just get his own life back. He got life for all of us. His submission actually brought new life. It brought more life. It brought life beyond the power of one life. It brought the opportunity for life eternally for you, for everybody, for me. And it was because of his ability to understand the idea of submission. Listen to what Philippians 2 says. These words were written about Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. What happened to his life? This life that was absolutely submitted to God, and not just to God. Don't make that mistake. Jesus was submitted to the human authorities in front of him. Do you know what he said to the very governor that ordered his execution? He looked at him and said, "You would have no authority over me if it hadn't been given you from above, if it wasn't given you by my Father." Those were his words to the governor who then ordered his execution. He understood what it meant to submit to his Father through even an unjust human authority. So he was free. He was free because he so trusted that his Father had control of his life. He could be humble enough to submit all the way to the point of death. And when he did, oh my gosh, when he did, not only did his life return to him, he has life enough for all of us. He has power enough for all of us. He has plans and purpose and mission and adventure enough for all of us with him. And God exalted him to the highest place. Do you want a life that's like that? A life that works like that? A life that God controls like that? That he exalts like that? Submission is the method of God's choosing. and I don't love it any more than you do. And we need regular reminders. And so I'm going to share with you something that we do as a staff every week. Are we friends? I hope we're still friends. We're still friends here. Good. Because friends, we are filled with rebellion. We are filled with ourselves. We come by it honestly. We really, really do as human beings. And when we face earthly authority, it is our opportunity. It is our opportunity to tell God, I trust you. And to follow Jesus into what he said we should do, which was to lay down our life. He says we're to die every single day. And as a staff, we remind each other of this very thing every Wednesday. And so I'd love to do it with you. I'd love you to take it away with you today. Brian Tome, who's our senior pastor, he will usually ask at the end of our Wednesday staff meetings, he will say, sometimes he puts new people on the spot, which is so Brian, right? He'll go like, dude, that I don't know, what kind of day is it? So he asks us, what kind of day is it? Or the new guy. And we all answer him together. It's a great day to die. And that's our reminder. And I want to do that with you. Are you ready? I'm going to ask you that question. And if you want to enter the training ground of submission with God, then I want you to answer me. It's a great day to die, okay? So everybody, what kind of day is it? It's a great day to die. Awesome. Let me pray for us. Father, you are good and we trust you. And I thank you for helping us through this very tense topic. I want you to be the authority over my life, and I want to stay in alignment with you. I pray that you would help us to do that while we drive the speed limit this week. And it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving, you guys. I'll see you driving 55.
Well, hey, thanks for being with us today. Two quick reminders. One, earlier you heard Matt Welty talk about the Crossroads app. Make sure you get that app. There's something in there I want to highlight for you right now called the Chaser. It's some questions about the thing that you just watched to help you get the most out of it, connect to others in community. And two, don't forget, Crossroads Anywhere community pastor Lena Schuler would love to connect with you. You can reach her and her team at hello@crossroads.net. Whatever you need, however we can help you, we'd love to be able to do that this week. We will see you next week for week 3 of Trail Boss. We'll be right back.